All right. Good morning, everybody. And it is exactly halfway through the month of May. So we're getting ever closer to that middle of the year mark where it's going to be freezing cold. But if you're keeping an eye on the calendar, May is halfway through. Well, just about, because there are 31 days in it. But there we are. All right. So we got lots to get to today. And chief among these things is going to be Gord Laws, who will be joining us momentarily. Jack Motlanthe is in the studio in Johannesburg. And I see lots of cool comments. You can join in the comment section, like and subscribe and all that other stuff. And let's hear from you this morning. Find out what you're up to as well. All right. Tracy says, I just saw King Charles's first official portrait since the coronation. What the bloody hell? Will he go down as the Red King? The artist nailed his sausage fingers, though. I don't know if you've seen this. I'll try and find a picture and put it up for you just now. But it's like the whole picture is red. It's like someone has taken a portrait and then painted red over everything afterwards, which is very, very weird. It's a bit disconcerting. But if that's the portrait that they've chosen to go with, well, okay, fine. At least some modern artists will be pleased with that. But I do not like any of this. Just paint. You know what? Art is meant to be beautiful, not just some statement. I'm tired of seeing statements. Like, how about just paint something beautiful? Why can't someone try to do what the great artists of the past have done? Like, represent something as beautifully as possible. How about that? Is that too much to ask? I did see an interesting thing. Someone sent it to me on Instagram yesterday. It's basically a building somewhere in Australia, I think, where they've taken a modern, ugly, you know, concrete and glass and chrome building, and they've actually turned the clock back and tried to make it more beautiful. I wish I could give credit to whoever it was who sent it to me, but it looks amazing. So I'm really happy to see that at least in one place in the world, they're turning back the clock and making decent architecture a real thing again. So that's very good. And then I also see that we've got just a reminder for everybody that the Burning Platform is now available on the Podcast Party SA YouTube channel. You can go and subscribe to that now. We will be doing that live tomorrow with Pumi Mashiko at 7 o'clock, as you are used to having it. All right, yes, Jack. Sir. Are you happy so far with the way that May is unfolding, or are you also just in a hurry to get to the end of it so that we can get these elections behind us?
No. Like May has been very, very good to me.
Okay.
I mean, I got to meet Eric Weinstein.
Yeah,
which was mind blowing. We put together that panel discussion with you and Timothy, which was insightful to say the least. Monday evening, we put together this panel discussion for Democracy Unplugged. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. I think that was one of the best ones we've ever done. So as far as May is concerned, I'm very happy. Very happy.
That was for Democracy Unplugged, but it was Women in Politics, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we had...
Tessa Dooms, Anele Mda, Lebang Hosana. It was good. And Craig Wilkinson, just to throw a spanner in the works. But I will say this. It's not often that you'll find a group of people that are willing to concede to certain things.
Right.
But still be mindful of how to navigate a conversation. At no point did they get into an argument. They didn't all agree on the same stuff. But everyone's point was taken and was made and properly considered. So those kind of conversations are the things that I live for.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. I like that a lot. Mm. Tracy also says it looks like the Stop Oil folks already got hold of that picture of King Charles. Yeah, it looks like someone went and poured red paint all over it. So I don't know how exciting that is.
Hey man, the old man's got cancer, doesn't he? Leave him alone, man. Leave the poor guy alone.
Shame, he's having a tough time. I saw someone got a knighthood or something yesterday, and I thought, oh, okay, that looks pretty good. I can't remember who it is, though, because the king was busy, you know, handing out honors. So here he is. Here's Gord Laws, everybody. Hello, Gordo.
What's up, champions?
How the hell are you? Nice to see you, Gord.
Can you hear me okay? Is my mic level good?
Perfect. All excellent.
Last time I did one of these, I listened back to it afterwards. At least I tried to. I couldn't hear a goddamn thing. I was like, is it my mic? Is it you guys? And then I just blamed you guys. But I was hoping that this thing's not come to the end of its lifespan. That King Charles painting sucks.
Yeah, it really does.
It looks like red vom. And then in the place where on the ordinary painting that it used to be, they're just a bit less vom where the face was. So right. The red vom has covered everything and not done a good job of the face, which is sort of peeking through.
We've talked about it so much now, I feel like I have to find a version of it so that I can show everyone.
No, it's probably shit.
Just quickly so I can get this off my chest, because Jack and I were talking about this just before we did the window seat. Have you watched Baby Reindeer? Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I'm dying to. I've got it planned for a weekend binge watch with my lovely girlfriend this weekend. We have a quiet one where we don't have to do anything. And unless that changes, because it often does, it's like... Apparently, you watch it in like one or two sittings. So I'm really hoping to watch that this week. And I've been saving it so we can get a weekend in.
Don't breeze past the fact that there's a Gord girlfriend now. A permanent post has been filled.
Yeah, you asked about it the last time I was on, which was probably 2 or 3 months ago. And I said, like, and you try to get all conspiratorial about it. You were like, ooh, like Gord's got to go. I was like, yeah, you know, it happens from time to time. But I have been seeing somebody for about 6 months, and it is very good. Nice.
Good man. All right. James is going to find that picture for us. But I thought while you and Jack and I are on here, he also saw this Kevin Spacey one. And we were talking about how, you know, if you're a guy and you go to Kevin Spacey's hotel room at midnight and he's in a dressing gown, and then you decide, no, it's a good idea to go into this room.
He's been known to not give people their Spacey. What's he done now?
But I mean, how much of that is on you, you know? Like Jack was saying, he has very little sympathy for someone who's going to go and hang around while that's
going on. You should be allowed to still exist within the same space as a person and not get fiddled with. Like, although, if you do go late at night on your own to Kevin Spacey's hotel room, you either are completely unaware of the news, which some people are. I try to be. Kevin Spacey, the fiddling of Kevin Spacey's victims had happened in the last 3 or 4 years, I would not know about it. I don't know anything about what's going on in any of this horseshit news, and I'm 1,000% happier because of it. House of Cards shit was like pre-2020, and I knew about it.
Gord, just hold on. From a principal standpoint, if any man invites you to a hotel room at midnight, and when you arrive, they're in a bathrobe, do you walk into that?
I've got odd friends. So, yeah, I mean, I've seen weirder things than that happen. Like, totally innocently, but my mates are nut jobs. So, yeah, I mean, but if it's someone I don't know and they're having a work meeting, then I'll be a bit like, look, mate, we could have done this at like 9.
Thank you.
So just a couple of things that we do have to deal with this morning. Because we haven't caught up with Gord for some time. Are you now a full-on meditator? Are you doing meditation regularly? Is this something that you've mastered?
Was Dory's attempt to get topics to talk to me about. I love the fact that we've only twice before, now twice, ever talked about my submitted topics. So I did the show weekly for almost four years.
Just hold on. Because we have limited time with you now. I try to make sure that we hone in on all the things that you want to cover so that we don't just amble around meaninglessly. And then you get to the end of the show and you're like, damn, I wanted to bring up.
For 4 years, I did the show almost more or less weekly. And then for 4 years since I've been doing it, for 3 or 4 years since I've been doing it now, like ad hoc and occasionally. And this is the second time you've ever wanted to bring up my topics. So I just stopped with them eventually. I'm like, I always send through 3 talking points of interesting shit that's on my mind. But yesterday, Dory was like, I mean, we need topics. And I'm like, I can't think of anything. So I wanted to know what is your view of meditation? Do you think it's like some hippie woo-woo bullshit? Or do you do some form of meditation in your life? And what is the vibe?
Jack, you go first. Have you ever tried this?
Yes, I have. I think I consider praying and meditation kind of interchangeable. I try to find some time and space to quiet everything just for a moment of introspection, but like do it as often as I'd like to, or for me to genuinely say that I've got a handle on meditation. But I don't think it's this fugazi nonsense. What I think there's some utility to it for sure.
Mm. And you, GC?
Okay, so there are two ways to answer this. The first one is to say that I've tried the actual practice of meditation, and it requires a huge amount of focus, and I can't shut my brain down for long enough to actually clear my mind and be totally present and actually just let thoughts happen. And again, these are the words that I've heard from people who do this properly. Let thoughts happen and observe them without being involved with them. I find that extremely difficult to do. So I'm still working on it, because I do think, you know, one of my very best friends from varsity is now a massive devotee of this practice. He said it has helped him enormously. He loves it. It gives him clarity. It gives him the ability to focus on things properly. Also gives him a lot more happiness. So I'm full on going to try, and I'm going to keep on trying until I get it right. But I have realized also, and this is something someone remarked on years ago, is that almost in an indirect way, this show is kind of a meditation, because while I'm doing the show, I'm not thinking about other things. It's one of the few parts of my day where I can actually be involved in what is going on without worrying about what's coming next or what happened before. So I suppose you could say, like Jack says, prayer and meditation go together for him. That makes a lot of sense. I almost feel like doing this show is a kind of meditation. It's a regular thing I do to start my day at least 3-4 days a week. And I consider that to be a form of being in the moment, being present, which is kind of what meditation is trying to achieve, is it not?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's an aspect of it. But I think whereas there's certain activities that different people will do that bring you into the moment. So everybody has those things where you can just sort of disappear into it. And I'm being prescriptive, I'm like saying it's my belief that it's advisable. I don't care what people do. Do what you want. But I think we should, unless it's go to Kevin Spacey's hotel room. But I think we should all find those things that make time disappear for you and do that. Because it's generally, unless it's fiddling somebody else against their will or impinging on someone else's human rights, it's generally a good thing when you find a thing that removes you from past and future. But I had kind of dabbled with it over the last 4 years. I don't know. I've explained it on previous shows. I went through something of like a spiritual awakening when I started with all this weight loss stuff in around 2020, and everything kind of changed for me. So I had talked about it and heard a lot of podcast content and books that involved discussing it, and I'd meditated here and there. But I decided at the end of last year that I was going to like knuckle down and make it a regular practice and do it kind of daily. I've now figured out that it's actually better for me to aim for 6 days a week and do at least 5, because you need that like one day off. If you're doing it so disciplinedly that you always do it and you never forget to do it, and if you for some reason can't do it, like we went out on that jaw about 3 months ago, GC, I have to just laugh because an ex-girlfriend I was dating last year, not quite as, you know, it wasn't a huge serious one that went on for years and years, but I was seeing somebody and I'd recently called it off, and she took it very personally that I went out with you and your two hot friends, because Mon and Zon are both good looking women. Of course, that's got fuck all to do with me. I was out with you and you happened to bring two of your friends. There were also a couple of good looking dudes that I don't know from Adam who you brought along on that jaw, who we were there for at some point. And so we were amongst pretty people in Cape Town. And in my photo that I posted,
isn't that the whole point of Cape Town, for God's sake?
It's, you know, to look good and be a bit vacuous. But I mean, that's mean. Mon and Zon are not vacuous. They're lovely people. Yeah. But some of the dudes we were at the one bar definitely were. So we were among some good looking lads and ladies. And then I posted a picture of me standing there with you and like two hot women. And I got a whole thing about, oh, it's clear that you try to tell the whole of Instagram you're living your best life and like just rubbing it in my face. And I was like, wow, I'm glad I got out of there. I'm glad I got out of there. But that was before the lovely lady I'm dating now, or probably around about the time I was meeting her. This was somebody from last year. I'm not trying to be mean to her. Meditation. I decided at the end of last year that I was going to like stick to it and do it regularly and see what happens. And I tell you, it's been transformative in my life. It really has. It's made a massive difference to like my just level of sort of focus, my ability to deal with like, I'm not a person who deals with anxiety. Like now it's like an internet buzzword so that I've got something to make me interesting on social media. Yeah. Anxiety, but I get anxious. Like when there's lots going on and there's too much to think about and I get like fucking worried about it and it like stops me from being able to focus on the TV show I'm watching. So I find that it's like really, really, really good to do. And there's different approaches to it. You get the very spiritual kind of Hinduism aspect where it's all kind of chanting mantras that are in Sanskrit and it gets very barefoot and beads. And there's like the Huberman approach where it's all like it's very scientific and you kind of like meditate and on a certain frequency of music you can get from an app. But just learning to control your brain, learning to discipline your brain and learning to be aware of your thoughts and to engage with them or not, to observe them unemotionally or not. Like whatever it is that's jumping into your mind, if you're having a fight with your mother or your best friend or a colleague at work and it keeps popping into your head while you're doing other things, to be able to just passively observe that and go, okay, that is a TV station on the back of my mind that's on and that's what it's playing. And just kind of, and then like you said, you haven't got you kind of struggle to quieten it down. And then you become better at that. It's like any kind of exercise. You become stronger at it. You become better at it. And it's, you have days where you like just can't quieten your brain for more than 3 seconds. And you've got time where you sit in like peaceful stillness for long patches at a time. I also find it is not in of itself a form of prayer. I don't meditate and pray at the same time. But in my own way, in my own strange kind of spiritual capacity, I do pray and I do it afterwards. I clear my mind, then I have a chat with the powers that be.
B says, the powers that be. B says, I feel like meditation teaches you to be centered and you don't have to meditate to get the benefit, but doing it makes you aware throughout the day so you could be present in anything. And that's a meditation of a kind. I like that definition. I don't think we need to be too uptight about this. You know, I also think that there are some people who... They're able to accommodate all these different inputs into their brains and they're able to get things done and they're able to think clearly about stuff. And then there are other people, it's just overwhelming, right? I think we all feel like that sometimes. I don't know about you, Jack, but I've often felt like sometimes there are days where there's just way too much coming at you. And I'm also like Gord, I don't like that word anxiety because it's being abused.
Suggests a condition that now makes you better than everyone because you've got some challenge. You've got some unique disability. It's like around about 5 years ago, 7 years ago, it became terribly unfair to not have some kind of disability to get sympathy from everyone. And I'm like, my left hand is nowhere near as dexterous as my right hand and I'm not equi-hand powerful. Dude, you mean you're right-handed? Yeah, a lot of people have that.
And it's annoying because they're all self-diagnosed. Oh, like 100%. None of them have actually spoken to a professional.
I won't mention any names, but I also dated a person. You know, it sounds as if now, like I've got a different girlfriend every 3 weeks. I was seeing somebody where it didn't. I've only had a handful in my lifetime of like serious girlfriends, but I was seeing somebody some time ago who also had like self-diagnosed everything. Every excuse you could ever need to be having a bad day or a bad week. I'm being a complete fucking dick to you this week. And it's because I've got this with this. And it was like, there was overstimulation, adult ADHD, all self-diagnosed and then medicated. Then you go to your GP, who's not a psychiatrist. You tell them you need this prominent drug that deals with adult ADHD and overstimulation, and then you get a medication that makes you even worse.
I see I'm being accused of this too, so you guys can climb in straight after this. But Skip says, GC, are you a fucking preacher now? Talk show is not a meditation. Get your facts right, damn it. All right.
That's what I was saying. It is good to have activities that bring you into the present. Whenever you're doing something that like really absorbs your attention, I find like it's difficult for me to get started and to make time for it. But when I sit and draw, either for like no reason at all or for this kid's book that I'm about to release quite soon that I'm drawing, and I put on an audiobook and I have both going at the same time, I can lose like 4 or 5 hours. I just get like when it's going I get completely sucked into it. But I'm not really meditating. I'm just only focused on that. So meditation is kind of like engaging that aspect of presence. But without needing it,
stop.
Like race stop. Car drivers will feel like that also. You know, they'll be fully in the race, but they're not really meditating.
What you're talking about is a flow state. But Naked Goose says in the comments, "When are you guys going to pull out all the crystals that you collect?" So,
I mean, it was difficult for me, and I remember I came out about it on the show a couple of years ago to say, like, well, I kind of found some sort of, and then I got a whole lot of people on the show and in social media like congratulating me for finding Jesus and telling me which psalm is their favorite, as if I'd said like I've had a lobotomy and now I'm like theologically religious. And I'm only joking. I've got absolutely nothing against Christianity or Christians, but I did have a bunch of people immediately assuming I've like turned to their religion and I'm devout and literal about it. Like, oh, you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm like, no, dudes, I just said I'm not an atheist anymore. I died in my sleep, met God. God was a fucking vibe. And since then, I'm like, I try to be a bit less blasphemous. And I don't care if anyone cares or not. It's not that. If people like it, cool. If they don't like it, cool. I'm not trying to convert anybody. But there were a lot of literal people like, you're a bad advert. You're part of why I spent 39 years not fucking wanting to know about this shit because you're clearly an idiot. I forgot what I was going to say on that, but meditation. But the point was meditation.
That's because you do the longest run-on sentences of any human being on planet Earth.
Yeah, it's a paragraph actually. If my punctuation is inferred, there are full stops and commas. I just go quickly. But meditation and prayer are quite different. Like they don't need to. The point I wanted to make is they don't need to be a religious thing. You can be completely atheistic or agnostic or any religion. It doesn't involve. It's not like you sit and do some sort of religious activity. There are religious ways to meditate, like different religions.
I've noticed something about Gord this morning, Jack. If you took out all the provisos and the exceptions from every sentence that Gord, like everything he says, he tries to preempt other people's criticisms before he finishes the sentence so that he gets out unscathed. Like if you cut those things out, Gord, I promise you, your sentences would be like 10 words long.
Yeah, isn't I do. I've always done that.
I think it's so hilarious that we're talking about meditation, which needs focus.
I'm a person that fucking needs
what he's trying to get across.
I do think that everybody should give it a try and that it's a difficult thing at first. You do find it like at 5 to 10 minutes of like of restless meditation where you don't really get into any kind of groove is hard at first. After 2 months, you'll actually find that like, oh my God, I can actually do this. And I really like, I'm sorry I made it about a spirituality conversation because the point that I was trying to preface is it doesn't need to be. You can do it in any.
Fair enough. Let's move on. I did want to bring up like Gord often will send me and I send him like a whole bunch of funny shit on Instagram. And Instagram is my favorite app at the moment because at least there's still a lot of fun to be had, right? Like it's really hilarious things, people doing stupid stuff, crazy people online who share like completely inappropriate things. I send Gord stuff every week and he sends me stuff as well. And that's probably the place we interact the most, right, Gordo?
Yeah, I mean, WhatsApp and Instagram. You're such a troll on Instagram that I know that you're posting 2/3 of the shit that you post on there is just to piss people off. Like, I'm like, I know Gareth well at this stage. I've known you about 20 years and well for almost 10 of those. We've known each other like 18 years, and I've been doing the show in some or another form with you for like 7 or 8 years. Half of what you post on Instagram is just to piss people off. On WhatsApp, you're a bit more. It's like a conversation. On Instagram, you're just broadcasting fuck you to the world. And I'm always like, yes, dude, you're looking for trouble.
And listen, I'm here for all of it. It's absolutely hilarious. Like on a daily basis, whenever I go onto Instagram, the first thing I do is search for Gareth.
He's one of my first two or three people whose stories come up, because the stories, you get them in order of like who you check the most. I always, but anyway, yes, Instagram is a jewel and you're quite active on there. And we do talk a bunch of shit on there.
So my favorite thing that we've had a conversation about in the last while, and we've got to share with everybody who's on the show today, because this is so, it's an ongoing thing. I love this. So Gord always finds these people who are putting these pseudo, you can't even call it pseudo intellectual. It's like, these are the people who they put out. Profound. Yeah. Pseudo profundity is probably a better way to put it. These people who put out these quotes, right. And it's some quote that is generated by, an AI machine. It's like, you know, the earth is imperfect because you're perfect. Things like that. It's
The earth, life isn't perfect, but you're perfect in it. But I don't think it's not even AI. It's got the stupidity of humankind in it. Like pseudo motivational shit. And my favorite flavor of pseudo motivational shit is when it speaks about a person in the second or third person, where it's like she woke up that day and left behind all her excuses.
Yes. Yes.
And I just vomit through my nose. You know when you like your mouth is busy doing something and then you just instantly vomit and it comes out of your nose in two streams. Anytime somebody posts something like that, I'm like, I know you're a moron. I know you're a moron. And I'm, you know, I try hard. Don't judge other people. Let people like things. Someone's into something you're not into. That's fine. Be tolerant. But that just fucking flies out of the window. It just evaporates immediately like a cup of water on mercury. The moment someone shares internet content, meme content that like identifies you, vapid and fucking stupid.
So that was the exact example that I was trying to find now. I was just scrolling through.
She woke up one morning and threw away all of her exclusives. And it speaks about she, as if like now it's clearly about me. I'm clearly talking about me. One day I've got a post this morning. He woke up one day and decided, I am unstoppable. Like I woke up today and went, fuck it, I'm unstoppable. Like fuck, it needs to be written. Like somebody's writing a novel about your life and dramatizing it so that it's exciting. Becky, you did fuck all today. You went and you did your HR job, and on the way to work, you stopped and got a coffee, and fucking that's it. Nothing exciting happened whatsoever. You live vicariously through fucking Netflix.
I don't want to beat up on Vicky who works in HR. But have you noticed how many people on the internet generally are using a cup of coffee like Jack is right now as like a prop in their life, carrying around that coffee cup? I've seen people come to meetings. It's not just a girl thing either. I see people come to meetings with a branded coffee cup that they've stopped at some place on the way. And I've been guilty of this I do this with Pumi on a Thursday. I buy her a coffee up the road from this really cool coffee shop. And then I arrive at the studio and I give her one, I have one. And then we use them as accessories for the time that we have them with us and the time that the coffee's still warm. And I've noticed people go to meetings now and they arrive with their own coffees. Is this a novel thing that you've picked up, or am I the only one who's seen
branded coffee like from a specific coffee outlet? Or cup that reuse because you think it's nice and it's cool looking? Because you can buy these reusable coffee cups that have a little silicone lid. Way,
it's not about the branding. It's about people arriving to meetings with their own coffee. They don't wait for you to make it. That would be horrible. That's not good enough for them. They arrive with their own coffee that they've bought en route.
Yeah, I think that in my experience is more to do with like it's a meeting that you had to travel for. So it's either the first one of the morning in a shared workspace. A lot of people will arrive with the coffee that they've had with them for their drive. And or if it's like we're gathering at, you know, if people are coming to your office for a meeting and they weren't going to be there otherwise. So when you arrive with your travel coffee and you continue drinking it into the meeting, if you like working in a shared workspace and it's 2 p.m. and everyone's been there the whole day and you pop out to the Vita one block away to get a designer coffee and bring it back for the meeting. That's a little bit odd.
I'm almost thinking maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree here. I don't know. Maybe this is just something I've noticed recently, but it could also be a Hollywood thing. Like there are these a lot of these Hollywood shows, a lot of these TV series, they're like these girl bosses who, like, as part of their thing, they always have a cup of coffee in their hand.
It's a very specific kind. You have to drink like a chai latte with a very specific type of milk, almond skim thing, whatever, like non-milk-free milk.
But you know how people used to have let me just think about this clearly. So you know how for example, for a lot of girls, the bag or the shoes or whatever is part of the outfit. It's like an accessory. I've noticed that, or a notebook. You know how people often have their own notebook? Like now the coffee is part of the accessory package. Like you'll have someone arrive for a meeting and they've got like a bunch of files under their arm and they'll have a cup of like steaming hot coffee from someplace. And listen,
I think there's people doing that.
I'm not knocking it. I don't have a problem with it. I'm not saying it's stupid, because God knows if that's what gets you through your day, I'm all in favor, you know. But I just think it's become kind of a thing that people do with their hands now. It's like you can't go into a meeting. You need to have that coffee there as a prop.
I don't know. I haven't spotted any too much of that. Like, and honestly, I don't take notes of those kind of things. It's just one of those things. As Gord explained, like most probably sometimes you find that you were traveling to a meeting and you got a moment to drive past McDonald's and get yourself a mocha or something like that. Like,
Tracy's just made the mention of the Stanley mug, which is precisely why I think this has become a thing. So she's just short-circuited the whole conversation
what
in my mind.
Stanley mug.
Okay. So this is why you don't know about this, Gord. And this is why you haven't been paying attention either, Jack. And I get it, because, you know, we're all guys and it takes us a long time to figure these things out. But I remember Pumi and Simpiwe both telling me on the show months ago, like there's this thing called a Stanley Cup, Stanley mug.
Isn't that a hockey tournament?
Yeah, the Stanley Cup is a hockey tournament. But the Stanley mug, they are these guys, they've been making like these thermos mugs, essentially, that keep things warm or cold for longer, for years. And it's very, very popular. It's become a big thing in America for like soccer moms and female executives, to the point where they sold, I don't know, they went up by something like 400% in sales at the beginning of this year. So it's become a thing in America, and this is maybe why. So I'm very aware of it because of that in the back of my mind. This is why it's a thing, because these women are now carrying their coffees everywhere they go in these Stanley cups, these Stanley mugs, and that's why it's become a thing. So thank you for reminding me, Tracy. You've just made it clear. Now I understand. That's what
I wanted to actually look at some of the comments. And Tracy Bart also gave a fantastic example of pseudo dickhead fucking philosophy, which she always knew she could move mountains. So one day she did. Like, yeah. That's exactly the type of horseshit. It's like, okay, maybe somebody did do that, and it's part of the story about a woman who moved a mountain. But when you're posting it and it's in reference to yourself, and it's like all the person did was one day go, I've been feeling shitty all week and I'm going to have a good day. And then you like post some pseudo-philosophical shite. And fucking somebody asked Gord, are you still Tunnel Bear on OnlyFans? Fuck, man, I'm trying to leave that part of my life behind. So clearly my VPN's not working if Mapella still knows that I'm Tunnel Bear on OnlyFans.
Hey, this is an interesting comment from Skip, who says, because, you know, Skip said meditation has nothing to do with like doing a show. And I said, okay, sorry. But he says, still love you, GC, but meditation saved me from suicide. So yeah, I'm a little sensitive to people who blow it off. Now that's an incredible insight. So, I mean, meditation saved you from suicide. It's a big deal. That's not something small. I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, Skip has also said in a previous comment, what is meditation, Deepak Chopra? Dr. Chopra claims that meditation lowers biological age. He writes, meditation is based on the silent repetition of a specific Sanskrit word or mantra. So, yeah, I've watched a couple of Deepak Chopra podcasty, YouTubey things, and mantra meditation is one method of meditation, and it is kind of there's a lot of that in the Hindu aspects of meditation. But as I said, there's not really, I'm not an expert, but I've been really focused on it for about 6 or 7 months now. And I do know for sure that there are a lot of different approaches to it. And if mantra meditation with Sanskrit in it is feeling a little bit floral and hippie-ish to you, there are some kind of more Western, more scientific. It is really just training your mind, quietening your mind, and putting a little bit of space between yourself and the constant stream of thoughts that you think are your consciousness. Whereas your consciousness and your real self as an entity is the thing that's listening to all that noise. So you are not the chatter, you are hearing the chatter and can control the chatter.
It's such a funny thing that, because my friend who's doing this now, he lives in America, and his wife and he have both started doing it. And he says, what you have to learn to do is to shut up that screaming monkey in your head. Mm. And I suddenly had this like mental picture, which made it a whole lot more fun, of this like screaming monkey that just won't shut up in your head, because that's kind of my head all the time. And then he said, you mustn't start thinking that suddenly you're going to be some kind of swami who's going to see everything, you know, like suddenly everything's going to come into clear focus and you're going to hear like bells and the world's going to open up for you in ways that it hasn't before. Mm. But if you could just shut that screaming monkey up for just enough time. And he says, when you start doing it, it'll be a couple of seconds, and then it'll be a few more. And then eventually you can get it to a minute. And like, once you can quiet the monkey down, like everything just gets a little bit calmer.
And you realize that all of the things going on in your mind and your emotions during the rest of the day, because there was you can take or leave the rest of Russell Brand, but he does focus a lot. I don't really want to discuss what anyone thinks of Russell Brand or not, but he has done a couple of guided meditations and he interviews a lot of people who talk about meditation. So I've watched quite a few of his discussions with Muji and with Deepak Chopra. And he said a thing that stuck with me, which is that, you know, the benefit of meditation doesn't happen during the 5, 10, 25, 45 minutes that you're meditating. It happens in the rest of your life where you find that you have space, you have room in your mind. So we get so caught up in the chattering and the talking and the noise and the feelings and the thinking and the just going with the stream of consciousness in your brain that you start to think that is you. And the first thing you do is you're able to just pause that and go, okay, I'm going to have a moment of peace away from that, away from whatever's going on in there. And it becomes difficult to do that, as you say, for just a few seconds and then just a minute or two here and there. But you realize at any time during your day when you're not meditating that when everything feels overwhelming or you can't get out of a funk or you for the 40th time going through what you should have said to that puss in the meeting who was an asshole and you just want to not think about it anymore, you can just stop, clear your like browser tabs and go again. And that's like it. So it's an exercise in not doing something. Like, imagine if your body just automatically sprinted at full speed on the spot, whether you're traveling or not all the time. You're always at full speed and you're sprinting all the time. And it's like quite useful because now you're quite a fast moving creature. But you don't realize that actually, even if you're stopping and you're not going anywhere, you're still sprinting on the spot. You realize one day, oh, fuck, I can actually, like, it's hard, but I can actually, like, if I really focus, I can stop my body even stand still for just a few seconds. And then you're like, oh, shit, when I stand still for a few seconds, if I can get to a minute of standing still, I have way more energy for the rest of the day. And then you just, throughout your day, every now and again, be like, oh, fuck, I've been sprinting for 2.5 hours. Now I've been standing still, sprinting on the spot for 45 minutes. I'm going to, like, focus. I'm going to stand still for, like, 90 seconds. And you get, like, a whole lot more. You recharge in that way. So yeah, I was interested if you do it, GC, and if so, how you do it. But I think the first thing, whether you interweave it with your spirituality or not.
Yeah, I think the first step would be getting your body to sit still in silence for like 5 minutes. Try that as a first step. Like, I think a lot of us just, we're not good with being a novice at things. Like, when you realize that you actually don't know anything about a particular subject matter, and it kind of makes people step back instead of leaning into it. Like, instead of looking at it as, instead of saying to yourself, I don't know anything, you should be saying, I have an opportunity to learn so much. Yeah. So in that frame of mind, all you need to do is sit still for 5 minutes. It doesn't matter what you think. Keep your eyes closed in a quiet room and just steady the body for 5 minutes. And once you can do that, you just extend the amount of time you can sit still for. I think, you know, baby steps.
Well, I mean, maybe these things are linked because we were talking just now about the Stanley cups or the coffee or whether or not it's meditation. And, you know, some people have their funny little eccentricities, their accessories, the things that they have to do to keep themselves from being unfocused. I'm just wondering, what are the other things that we do to kind of, it's almost like Nunu blankets. Like, I know the moment I am bored.
Go and have a wank. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
No, no, but hang on. Before you get to that, yes, Kevin Spacey, just calm down. So I find like if I'm around people or I'm not around people, I will grab my phone the moment I'm feeling unstimulated or disinterested. And not because I'm looking for dopamine hits from people I don't necessarily want to hear from, but because my phone is where I go to make sure that I've done all my things. Like I keep lists of everything and, you know, like there's a shopping list or there's a list of things that I have to do today or whatever it is. So that becomes my accessory. It becomes the thing that I refer to when I have any free time at all. It's not good. I know it's not healthy. You're checking your phone for no good reason. There's is absolutely not. I'm not that important that I need to be checking every 5 minutes what's going on the screen. But it's become a thing that I do with my hands. Like some people have the coffee cup, or some people need to learn to focus to get that screaming monkey in their head to stop. I think that that's become my thing, and it worries me.
It's it's weird that we do have like an automatic revert. Like I find you pick up your phone subconsciously, and it's like you're not aware of the fact. Like you have to start becoming aware of like wanting to open your phone less and scroll less. You just find that you are on your phone. You don't think like shit. Let me quickly check Instagram. You're just checking it, and then you realize like shit. I should do a bit less of this. I find that like, if you, in the absence of other things that you find are productive and interesting and useful, you'll do that. So you don't always feel like watching TV. As I've gotten older, like I find it harder and harder to get into TV. Like I can't mindlessly watch TV, and I need to be enjoying something. Even if there's a show I am enjoying watching, I'm often like, I'll go days or weeks where I'm like, I really need to get back and watch the second half of that thing, but I just don't feel like it now. So like audiobooks and certain podcasts and YouTube channels are good for me when I want to like, I'm like, I put them on so that I don't play with my phone, because I can't always just sit and do nothing. So I think it's important that like everybody has a thing that you enjoy that's like a form of escapism that's relatively easy to do.
So you actually will watch something and try to devote your entire attention to it. What's yours, Jack? I mean, we all have these things, right? Call it an automatic revert. I like that.
Yeah. That is a good way to put it.
Roll up a blunt.
There we go.
I've had that also, but like that's something where now you've made an occasion. Like I would smoke all day. I would do the show smoking. I would smoke while I worked. I just would be. I basically would smoke joints like chain smokers smoke cigarettes. But like then it becomes your natural default, and then it's like, well, now what do you do once you're high? Because you can't always be smoking. You need the little gaps in between, right?
Definitely. Like I I'm a writer.
You'll scroll high. You'll do the same thing. You'll scroll mindlessly while high, as opposed to scrolling mindlessly while not high.
Yeah. So I've got a basic rule with my phone. If it does not vibrate or beep or anything, it just doesn't come out of my phone and out of my pocket. Excuse me. Unless I have something specific to do on it. But in those moments where I need, a couple of minutes to myself or anything like that, that's when I roll a joint. And typically I do not smoke indoors. I enjoy being outside close to some form of nature. If I'm not sitting on a in my lawn, or I'm under a tree or something. So my connection to nature is what kind of brings me back. So phones, laptops, TVs and whatnot feel so robotic. So
I love this, because because V. Ruiz says, listening to this show and cleaning the kitchen is how I stay sane. I mean, cleaning used to be my thing, I think. I would always be able to. It's one of the few things I can do at the same time as other things. I could be talking to you on the phone and cleaning, and I'm not distracted by the cleaning.
Withdrawing, like I draw on an iPad tablet, or I draw on a tablet, and in my case specifically an iPad, and I listen to audiobooks, and I find that, like, these are two things I can do separately. I listen to audiobooks almost every evening, but when I do both at the same time, I am like able to focus more on the drawing and get more absorbed in the story. Like these two things just really complement each other, and I lose hours. You know, I can, if I'm drawing a lot, which I go through phases with, I just consume like four times as much audiobook content. So I think I also can listen to audiobooks while I cook. I don't usually, but sometimes I'm like in the middle of a book, it's time to eat, and I take it with me while I cook. And I just, like, you can really zone in.
It's like we've happened upon some central golden thread to this whole conversation for this hour of the show, which is great because we didn't go into it planning to have that. But I think that this meditation conversation has got us talking about flow state. It's got us talking about distractions. It's got us talking about accessories. And I think they're all related. I see a comment here from Azalea who says her husband's wedding ring is like a fidget spinner. He spins the band to help him concentrate. Now, that is exactly what I'm talking about, is we all have to do things to quiet the monkey down, right? Now, maybe for some people it's doing stuff with your hands. Maybe it's checking your phone. Maybe it's drawing something. Maybe it's listening to something. I certainly find that podcasts are also, and audiobooks occasionally, are a big part of where I can focus. Like if I don't have those things during my day and I can't take part in a listening experience of something, I really don't manage to learn anything that day.
That's a good example, though, because, like, if you're going to put on a podcast, you're going to do it when you've got some time for it. You're not going to be like while you're answering work emails. You're not going to but you will, in between each mail and halfway through a mail, just open your phone and start scrolling and not be aware of how you even did it. So the fidget spinner is one aspect. A podcast is where you kind of almost need to decide, now I'm going to dedicate time to that. But the point that I'm trying to make is that we almost non-consentingly get into our phones. You, without being aware of deciding to do it, without being aware of it being the correct time to do it, and like, oh, cool, I've done 10 emails, I've got 10 more, and I'm going to do 5 minutes of phone in between. You just get into your device. We all do. I do as well. And I try to do so less. I try to be more conscious about it. So something to fidget with while you're doing other things is probably better in terms of, and for a lot of people with weight problems and the way that, like, I would go and eat because I just wanted to, like, not be, like, I want a break. And smoking is another similar thing. People who smoke, whether it's weed or tobacco, you go and smoke, not so much because you want a cigarette, but because you just want a break from what you've been doing for the last hour that you have to do for the next hour. And that's where it's dangerous, where you subconsciously and automatically start consuming things.
So Carl says, this is a really good way to kind of wrap this thing up. Carl says, I can't decide if Gord is the Oprah of the show due to weight loss, the Louis C.K. because of masturbation, or the Snoop Dogg because of the weed.
I mean, I don't know how much I talk about masturbation. I do talk about weight loss a lot. I'll occasionally mention masturbation, but I hardly think it's a fundamental tenet of my content pillars. And yeah, I mean, we used to smoke a shitload of weed, but that's not since like 2020. It's on the show. Gazebo has asked, when is the Trying Harder show going live? I'm actually busy putting that back together. My podcast, I'm working on it actively. I want it to be really slick and stuff, and it is happening in the background. And I actually, if you'd asked me a year ago, if I would have wanted to have it up and running 3-6 months ago already, but I am getting there. I'm blaming my designer friend who's taking fucking ages to update all my graphics and visuals. Jody Smith says, was it Nando's that had the ad many years back with the annoying orange monkey representing craving for their food? It disappeared when the guy had his fix of Nando's. No, it was chicken. It was their hot wings. And John Badog Hellno says, meditation's helped him be a better listener. There were one or two others on here. Tony DeFreitas, what podcasts am I listening to recently? More audiobooks at the moment, but I always check in with Joe Rogan if there's an interesting guest. And I've got a little bit over Huberman because it's always the same. It's like how to like supercharge your oaks. Just like mm-hmm. wake up in the morning and go for a wee. You don't have to like power wee with UV light in your eyes and stuff. I enjoy Diary of a CEO, but also depending on the guest, that dude that is the host, I find him a little bit fucking uninteresting and a little bit glib. Not glib's not the word. I find him a little bit so what? Like who cares about this guy and what he thinks? But he talks to very interesting people. Probably one we should have started earlier because we're going to run out of time. But there were some very cool comments, and I've lost some of them. So hey, sorry, guys.
Are you really keen to talk about the joy of cheese, or was that just you bullshitting?
No, I absolutely love cheese, dude. I mean, I've got a tattoo of cheese because it was a big thing of what helped me lose all that weight. And it's a huge aspect of my diet. And unless you're lactose intolerant, which some people are, cheese is really fucking good for you, and it's health food. And I mean, I'd love to do a show at some point where we talk for 2 hours about like food and how people in society just don't understand what food is. The marketing of what's health food is completely wrong. And like, unless you have lactose intolerant, which some people do, but not most people don't, cheese is very good for you, and it's fucking delicious. And it's like, I eat it all the time.
And it's crazy. So I was vegan for like 2 years. And all of this other stuff was easy to drop. Cheese was the most difficult thing. It's madness.
Well, your body wants the triglycerides from somewhere, right? It's animal fat. So it's the fact that you're not eating the dead parts of a dead animal. And this was something, there's a way to get animal fats out of animals without killing them. But your body wants the animal fat. So if you determine not to eat meat because it's a dead thing, although everything eats, nothing that lives doesn't feed off the bodies of other things that lived, whether it's cells eating the cell, like bacterial multi-celled organisms eating the cells of a proto plant material, whether it's herbivores eating plants. You have everything eat something that is alive or was just recently alive. And even if what the thing you eat that was once alive, as soon as it hasn't been alive for more than a few hours or a few days or for too long, you can no longer eat it. So you have to eat things that were alive and recently alive. Plants, like mm-hmm. everything, plants need the minerals from the soil that was once stuff that was alive. So all things live by consuming the life of other things. But if you do not like the idea of a thing having to die so that you can eat its body, you can get the fat out of it through dairy and then consume your animal fats that way. And like, as soon as you take that shit away from your body, your lifespan fucks out, your ability to reproduce fucks out, your mental health fucks out. I always say it like this: I respect and admire people who want to be vegetarian or vegan because of the principle, but as soon as you make evolution a pseudo scientific matter and a political one, I wish human beings had developed the power of flight. I think it's fucking bullshit that we didn't decide to develop the power of flight millions of years ago. And I don't go jump off buildings and try and glide to prove a point. If you not eating what we're evolved to eat to prove a point.
Let me just climb in here because you've just gone on it like the biggest cheese tangent imaginable.
The short version, and cheese is a good way to get them.
This is a great one to launch your own podcast with, Gord, because I think if people are really into cheese, then you got to go with that. I only eat the very mildest and most boring cheeses imaginable. I'm not a big cheese guy, but people who love it, they love it. As Jack was saying, if you have to give up anything, for people who love cheese, that's the last thing. They'll do all the other stuff, but they'll call it a day just before.
I love cheddar. I like the most mature possible cheddar. Like Woolworths do a 20-month, and they only sometimes have it. And when they have it, because it's like they get it once every 4 months, and then like I buy all of it because fuck everybody. I buy all of it because they normally have a 12 or an 18-month. And that difference between that 18-month cheddar and that 20-month cheddar, you would think would be slight, but it's like I want it so mature that it's like it lectures you because of your life choices while you're eating it.
Listen, Tracy says, I have a poster in my kitchen that says cheese, the reason you get up in the morning. There we go. That's how much love there is for that. All right.
John Bedolt says, just not American cheese. It's plastic. Just about every product on the shelves is plastic. Like anything very anything very processed, like the cheese that's on your burgers from like McDonald's and Burger King, somehow they've managed to make it out of basically sugar. It's incredible how many things that are not fundamentally sweet tasting, not just have sugar in them, but are like predominantly sugar. Savory spices, ketchup, bread. Yeah. Like especially like the buns at burger places like McDonald's and Burger King, like they've managed to make bread out of sugar. Like why? It's not supposed to be sweet, and yet it's like one-third of it is like
sugar. Poison. All right, listen, so, we've got to wrap.
Real cheese, made of cheese.
Thank you, Gordo, and thank you very much, Jack. Jack, thanks for holding the fort down in the studio this morning, regardless of my inability to have woken up on time. We will be back on Friday morning for a live show, but tomorrow, don't miss The Burning Platform, which will also be live. You can watch it on the podcast party. We will post all of that on the social media so that you can find it easily and we can make it worth your while. Tomorrow, brand new show there and lots of other cool new stuff happening in the course of this week. Stick around. We're halfway through the month of May and we aren't even halfway yet. So loads of good stuff still to come. We will see you tomorrow on The Burning Platform. Cheers, everybody.